When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Wildcat Insider with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and KMAN Sports Director, Mitch Fortner.
Well, thanks to Dua Lipa and that song from the Barbie movie, Dance the Night Away, I've had it stuck in my head all day because of the women's selection show yesterday. Not really a Dua Lipa fan, but I gotta admit, that song is catchy. Welcome to Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner and A.J. Shaw, Wyatt Thompson, actually I'm pretty sure just moments ago landed in Iowa City, Iowa. We recorded a segment earlier today, so you'll hear that at 4:25. Tyler Dreiling, he's a former host of the game, former resident of Maui, Hawaii, and now he's the manager at Booth Creek Wagyu. Today we have launched the 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge. It is live right now at newsradiokman.com. And Tyler Dreiling will be in studio to talk brackets and talk some steak. That'll start at 5:10. Bramlage Coliseum, the very building that once hosted concerts with the Beach Boys, Def Leppard, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Poison, Damn Yankees, Van Halen, Weezer, Dixie Chicks. I see here there was a transition to different music after a while. Toby Keith, the late Toby Keith, Bob Dylan, Dierks Bentley, comedy shows like Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, not to mention three former presidents spoke in Bramlage Coliseum. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar spoke in 2018. By the way, Bramlage has not had a concert since 2019. I think it's time to bring one back. Let's get some music in Bramlage Coliseum. I may know somebody that is working on the Rob Zombie Alice Cooper tour.
That'd be interesting.
They're going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska this summer. Why not Manhattan, Kansas? But that very building this weekend will be hosting, for the first time in 7 years, the first and second round of the Women's Division I NCAA Tournament, with the K-State women earning the 4 seed in Albany 2, and we'll be hosting starting on Friday. It was a tense Shamrock Zone. At least for me it was. And that's because K-State was either going to be a 4 or a 5. And like I mentioned to Charlie Cream in our interview on Friday, it's like there's two bubbles in women's basketball when it comes to the NCAA tournament. The actual bubble with who's going to get in, who's going to be left out. Which, of course, that was a bit of controversy for the men's tournament. Why is Virginia in? Plus, a lot of teams stealing bids and not as many opportunities for bubble teams. And then there's others opting out from the NIT, just ending the season in case it electing to stick with the season and compete in the NIT. But the other bubble is who's going to host, who's going to be traveling in the first couple of rounds. Now, the last time K-State hosted was 7 years ago. That was a special year because K-State was not a top four seed. The reason they hosted, and I think attendance had something to do with that, because K-State fans show up for women's college basketball. But Stanford had a gymnastics event and could not host. Well, they were going to be a top four seed, no doubt about it. They ended up with a 2, but had to find somebody else to host. Well, K-State ended up being that team to host. And as a 7 seed, they beat Drake in the first round, but then lost to Stanford in the second round. But this time around, K-State earned it. They earned the right to host. They earned their spot as a 4 seed. And I'm glad my prediction was correct. Because Charlie Cream, as K-State fans always like to say on the women's side, he's always wrong when it comes to K-State women's basketball. And he was wrong again. There's a reason I had him on couple of reasons. One, he is a recognizable name in women's college basketball to give an opinion, and also his bracketology. But two, I did not like Colorado's or Gonzaga's resume over K-State's. In my opinion, their resumes could not touch K-State's. Gonzaga still actually ended up with a 4 seed. They're going to be hosting in Spokane, which, by the way, at the same time, Spokane is also hosting 8 other teams, including like 4 from Alabama, for the men's NCAA tournament. So it's going to be hard to find a hotel room in Spokane, Washington this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, I wonder what the prices are for hotels right now.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. Now, I'm sure, like, for K-State, I'm sure this is something they've been planning in advance for.
Yeah.
This was an expectation that this team could be really good. Mm-hmm. They are really good. I mean, just imagine if Yoki stayed healthy all season, mm-hmm. what this team would have already accomplished by now. I'm sure there's some things they would have accomplished, or there's at least a really good chance they would have accomplished that. But they earned it this time. They are a 4 seed. They'll actually be hosting Colorado. And I said last week, and I still stand by this, just by the current trend of Colorado. Colorado's a really good team. But they're not really winning games right now. They're kind of skidding right now. They're not playing their best basketball. And if K-State were to actually be a 5 and then go on the road for the first couple of rounds, where I would want them to go was Boulder, Colorado. But instead, Colorado's going to be coming here for a potential 4-5 matchup. Now, Drake is on the other side for Colorado. That is a popular, actually, upset pick in the first round of 5-12. Those also happen in women's basketball. But for K-State, it'll be Portland. The Pilots of Portland will be coming into town. That's a first for me. I've never heard of a mascot go by the Pilots.
The Seattle Pilots were a baseball team that ultimately became the Milwaukee Brewers. That's the only one I can think of. And that was from 60 years ago, almost.
That is a history I did not know, but look at the brain on AJ. It might be their work that, I mean, it's hard to say. It's an interesting storyline if you want to stay with it. That is, maybe the Pilots had something to do with K-State getting a 4 seed. But again, it wasn't Gonzaga that moved down to a 5. It was Colorado, who was projected to be a 4. They moved down to a 5. But it's still an interesting story. Portland beat Gonzaga for the WCC championship. Sounds like pro wrestling I just mentioned there. The WCC, the West Coast Conference championship. And it was just weeks prior to that, Gonzaga beat Portland by 50.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
Now, later on this week, we'll definitely get more into the matchup. And when we have today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for live shows, Thursday and Friday is going to be just wall-to-wall coverage of NCAA tournament action. I mean, from 11 a.m. to midnight this weekend. It's just going to be NCAA tournament games, unless we need to break in for K-State baseball or the K-State women playing on Friday, which, by the way, tip-off is at 3:30 against Portland. Colorado and Drake will actually have the second game in Bramlage on Friday. They'll tip off at 7. I wish that was the other way around, but it is what it is. Ticket sales are going pretty well, guys. Let me just give this warning right now that K-State fans are stepping up. They are going to be in Bramlage Coliseum to just support this team. If you're going to get tickets, you're going to want to get them very soon. The last update by K-State Athletics was under 3,800 left. And we're talking tickets have been on sale for less than 24 hours. The game is on Friday. The first game is on Friday. They'll play again on Sunday. You know, of course, if they beat Portland, which is, of course, expected. But tickets are going. And just by the tickets that already been sold, we know this is going to be an awesome environment in Bramlage. Now, I was at the selection show watch party yesterday at the Shamrock Zone. I got nervous watching the show because that first bracket was coming out, and K-State ended up with the 4 seed in the South Carolina bracket. South Carolina is the overall number 1 seed, and there's no surprise about that. That was expected. Now, Virginia Tech takes the 4, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting because I figured if K-State was going to earn a four, they were going to be in that South Carolina bracket. They'd be that last four seed. And then they did it. I was like, ooh, that may not be a good sign. But then Oklahoma was the five in that bracket. So really what that did is where this may sound, kind of cancel each other out as of what that could mean for K-State.
Mm-hmm.
So once Oklahoma got that five seed, I went from not feeling good at all about a four to feeling really good about a four.
I felt kind of the same way, too, watching it.
We spoke to Coach Mitty and some players after that all took place, and Jeff Mitty talked about hosting the NCAA tournament, of course, is a big deal. Oh, check that. Hold on. We got some audio feeding through here, so let's get this figured out. All right, let's get to Jeff Mitty here from yesterday at the watch party, talking about hosting being a big deal.
To go through the entire season and have people say, you know, you earned the top 16 is a big deal. And certainly having it at home, we played very well here. And, you know, we're going to have to play good basketball.
And the preparation for this staff, it started right away.
We'll leave here. We'll go right into meetings. We'll stay late. We'll start the coffee. We'll start all that stuff. And I just love it. I love every bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just imagine what the men's team is going through. And, you know, from the brackets coming out, and that was after the women's reveal. The NIT comes out at 8:30. At least that's when the show started. And K-State found out, I think, at 8:45 that they're going on the road to play at Iowa. Boy, things are in motion like crazy. Well, at least for K-State on the women's side, they're hosting. They don't have to worry about travel. You know, there's more for the K-State staff to do, as in support staff, or really not so much support staff, just the fan experience staff, K-State Athletics as a team, getting prepared along with the NCAA to come in and start throwing their weight around on how to do things, how to get things set up, because media, if you haven't dealt with the NCAA tournament before, yeah, things are a little bit different when the NCAA is in charge. First of all, the whole cup thing. You cannot bring a bottle of anything out there with you. Your drink has to be poured in these Powerade cups that have the NCAA logo on it. And if you're sitting behind the TV crew, you can't even have the cups.
Wow.
They're pretty strict.
That's pretty strict.
I'm going to give so Rob Velker, and I got to do this 7 years ago. Rob Velker will be the public address announcer. At least I think he's planning on doing, and I'm sure he is. He'll be the public address announcer. But even though you're hosting, you still have to be neutral. They'll do the alternating starting lineups. But when it comes to announcing the teams, if it is K-State versus whoever, you have to be same cadence for everybody.
Oh, Rob's a pro. He'll be good.
But you can still do the 4-3. And this is what I'm going to tell him. Still do the 4-3, but don't like drag it out like I 4, you know, and drag it out and let the people pop with the 3. You got to say it for everybody. 4-3. You got to do it for everybody. That at least allows K-State fans to still do their thing, if you know what I mean. Just got to do it with them. Let's get to Gabby Gregory. She, like everybody else, was anxious for the reveal.
I was so nervous sitting up there because we knew we were right there. We didn't know 4 or 5. And so every time it popped up, the 4 and 5 seeds, I was, oh my gosh, my heart was beating. I was like, we can get the 4, though. We can get the 4. And turns out we did. And I couldn't be happier. I'm very excited.
The last question to Gabby Gregory was from yours truly, but it wasn't exactly to Gabby. It was for Gapgoat. Gapgoat was in Gabby's arms during that little press, little scrum there after the selection show party, and she delivered Gapgoat's reaction to all the noise and all the excitement.
We were all nervous to see if we were going to be a 4 or 5 seed, but Gapgoat was stone cold. He had no reaction. He's just ready to get to work. So yeah, but he told me he's happy. He's excited.
Yeah, nobody on that team is as chill as Gapgoat.
He's a man of few words, but like I told you before, he's a guy that when he speaks, you got to listen. That's just who he is.
Spot on. That is exactly what Gapgoat is all about. Also, I will say, kind of showboats on social media a little bit. I got to say, it really kind of shows off the glamour of his life, on social media. On it's Instagram, Gap Goat on Instagram. I don't know exactly.
Well, he's a WWE champion too, isn't he?
Yep, got the strap. I don't know where they got that, but it is a good look. I haven't seen the belt on Gap Goat for a little while, but I'm sure that'll make its return for the NCAA tournament. So again, the K-State women, and by the way, 18th appearance all time in the NCAA tournament. This is K-State's highest seed since 2005, when K-State was also a 4 seed. And I do believe as a 4 and as an eligible seed to host, that was the last time K-State hosted as a 4 or better. They ended up losing in the second round to Vanderbilt that year. Cats in Portland will tip off at 3:30 on Friday. Coverage here on KMN begins at 3. And then the winner of that game will play the winner of Colorado and Drake. And that game on Friday will tip off at 7 o'clock. Guys, tickets at kstatesports.com. Also call 1-800-221-CATS. These tickets are selling fast for both sessions. Go get your seat as history being made in Bramlage Coliseum this weekend. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we will be joined by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, after this timeout. This is nostalgic for me. Saw Breaking Benjamin last summer. Breaking Benjamin, Alice in Chains, and Bush. That was a great, great time. Oh yeah, the old JK beds. The 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge is officially on, guys. Go to newsradiokman.com. Click on the 2024 Bracket Challenge banner brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu here in Manhattan. Get signed up. You sign up so we know if you win, who we send the prizes to. And by the way, all you got to do, fill out the bracket, submit it. It's for free. Everybody's filling out the brackets, right? Might as well get rewarded handsomely for your efforts if you end up winning or, you know, finishing the top three. The winner of the bracket challenge receives $750 in cash. Second place will receive a 65-inch Roku TV. Third place, $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. And guys, that can buy yourselves a lot of tasty steaks. By the way, speaking of Booth Creek Wagyu, Tyler Dreiling will be in studio for a couple of seconds beginning at 5:10 as we talk brackets and we talk steak. But it's now time to talk with the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, as K-State hoops on the men's side in the NIT. First round matchup will be at Iowa for an 8 o'clock tip-off, pregame at 7. Tomorrow night already here on News Radio KMAN. Wyatt, this has been quite the crazy last 24 hours. I mean, late last night, Cats find out that they're in the NIT. Now you're already traveling to Iowa City. This is a really quick turnaround.
No doubt. I mean, it just seemed like from the time we found out last night at about 8:45 to today where we're getting ready to fly, it was very rushed. There's no doubt about it. And I can't imagine what it's like for the coaching staff trying to prepare these guys to play. And just finding out what was going on last night. We've talked about, you know, quick turnarounds before, but this one's a little even more so in my mind. And I'm glad that K-State is in. I know they're disappointed with the NCAA stuff, but I think we knew with all of the upsets on Saturday, didn't we, that it was going to be a pretty long, long shot, and kind of turned out to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, five bids were stolen by teams that were not going to make the NCAA tournament, and they win their conference tournaments, and now they're in with the automatic bid. A little bit chaotic. I think somebody was saying on the selection show yesterday that in the two previous NCAA tournaments, a combined of three stolen bids were made. So there was a lot of chaos for bubble teams, and even hurt a team like Oklahoma, who was a bubble team on selection Sunday or even a couple of days prior, but as more bids were being stolen, Oklahoma lost their opportunity. Now they've just completely opted out, and they have ended their season. K-State has not opted out. They're into the NIT, and they'll play Iowa. We'll talk about the Hawkeyes here in just a moment. Give me some more details about the travel, because it's such a quick turnaround. So you guys are leaving this afternoon, right, to head up to Iowa City?
Yeah. The flight time was scheduled for 2:30, and we'll get there. I think what I understand last minute here is that they'll fly into Cedar Rapids and then drive into Iowa City, which I don't think is too much of a drive. But again, the quick turn is the real story. And I think, to be honest with you, Mitch, as we sit here and talk, I haven't really talked with anybody in terms of the coaches in preparation for this. It's all been through athletic administration, like Casey Scott, who oversees K-State men's basketball for our athletic department and stuff like that. So it's been a little disjointed, there's no doubt.
Well, we'll get to the field of the NIT here in just a moment. Of course, K-State plays tomorrow night, 8 o'clock for the tip-off, pregame at 7 here on K-Man, against the Iowa Hawkeyes. I don't know how much history there is with K-State and Iowa. I can't remember the last time these two teams played, but I'm sure along with this quick turnaround, you've been prepping quite a bit for what this 18-win Hawkeye team is all about, who finished in sixth place in the Big Ten. So in your early and quick prep of Iowa, what stands out about the Hawkeyes? What should we know about this team out of the Big Ten?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that part I can answer. Some of that stuff I really couldn't earlier with just the travel stuff, because we just hadn't really been all that informed. But Fran McCaffrey's been there a long time as their head coach. I think this is his 14th year. He's won over 500 games in a 28-year head coaching career. What you probably need to know about this team is that, like most, they're really good at home, where they were 12-4 at Carver-Hawkeye. They have the Big Ten Freshman of the Year and big man Owen Freeman out of Moline, Illinois, 6'10 and 230. Probably their two top guys, though, in all honesty, are Peyton Sanford, 6'7 wing, shooting 38% from three, leads the Big Ten with 87 made threes. Just a really, really fine shooter. Had a triple-double earlier this year at 6'7". And then Tony Perkins, their point guard, does a really nice job. He's ninth in the Big Ten in assists and sixth in assist-to-turnover ratio. Big point guard at 6'4 and 205 out of Lawrence North High School in Indianapolis. But, you know, they've got some other interesting pieces that help them from time to time. I mentioned Coach Fran McCaffrey, his youngest son, Patrick, comes off the bench after starting the first 15 games of the year. So I think it's, like K-State, a quality team, a good team, fell a little bit short. They lost, like K-State did last Thursday. Cats lost in the quarters. They lost in the second round to kind of an upstart Ohio State team who had fired their head coach and used an interim and made him the head coach full-time after, what, a 5-1 run there. So it's been an interesting year for Iowa, too.
First trip for K-State to the NIT since 2009. K-State's made 7 trips in total. This will be their 8th all-time. Now, the winner of this game will play the winner of Utah and UC Irvine either on March 23rd or 24th. So just to be a few more days after this game on Tuesday, to be this weekend, if K-State wins, they'll play once again. And it is a possibility at that point that K-State would be able to host a game. Wyatt, I'm sure you noticed this, but about half of K-State's non-conference schedule is in the NIT, including Villanova, also in the region with K-State. I mean, Providence is in there. LSU is in there. Pretty familiar group of teams in this field for the NIT.
No doubt. Cincinnati, of course, from our league. UCF from our league. That is a very interesting point that you make. Princeton ended up having a really pretty darn good year, honestly. LSU, they were roughly just above 500. So a lot of teams with similarities. I think maybe the overall top seed, Seton Hall, should be that. I think you could make a hell of an argument, and I'm just being blunt about that, that they should have been in the big dance over maybe a couple of others. But, hey, that's postseason college basketball, right?
Yeah, and I know there's like the NIT works a little bit different now with, you know, the top two net teams in the conference getting the automatic spots, and then – you know, if they opt out and there's a possibility for more teams to get in, you know, and, you know, maybe K-State doesn't get in if there's a number of teams that don't opt out. K-State might not be in the NIT, but were you a little surprised that they did not get a seed and ended up hosting in the first round?
You mean K-State?
K-State, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And yet, like I said before, once you started seeing North Carolina State as an example, win the ACC and win 5 games in 5 days to do it, you knew there was going to be some significant movement, and none of that would favor a K-State, as an example. I'll be honest, I don't think K-State's resume is much different than Mississippi State, who got in, Michigan State, who got in, but again, that's the arguable point of this year in and year out. I think even the committee chair last night told CBS that they had never really had a year like this where they almost had to start over, you know, right in the final day and a half, just because of all of the craziness that happened, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, Wyatt, let's wrap up by looking at the big dance itself. Of course, K-State men, they don't get into the NCAA tournament. The K-State women do. They'll be hosting the first and second rounds with a game on Friday afternoon at 3:30, tipping off against the Portland Pilots coming into Manhattan. The other game is actually going to be the second game of the day, which I wish it was the other way around. I wish K-State was playing the second game, but it'll be Colorado and Drake playing in a 5-12 matchup, but also on the men's side. I'll get your thought on that as well, if there's anything that stands out on the men's bracket, especially with Iowa State getting a 2 and not a 1 after winning the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, I think you could probably argue that along the way, too. And I thought they did a pretty good job on the selection show explaining why they did what they did with Carolina. The reality of it is as they explain, we all thought Iowa State, when they beat Houston like they did, and North Carolina lost to NC State, people thought that Iowa State could slide in there as the fourth one. But the reality of it is they were the third two, as I get it. So they were a little farther away than maybe you might think, even though they had a spectacular year. I think there are a couple of other things that stand out on the men's side with, obviously the committee loves UConn, and I get it. They're the defending champions. They're 31-3, the number one overall seed. And I think if you, I don't know if you would take them as opposed to everybody else. As an example, if I said to you, I'll give you UConn, I get everybody else, would you do that? I think there are some that would, I think is the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I guess I'll say this too. I felt like, I guess I'll just be blunt and say this. I don't think the Mountain West got as much love as everybody thought they were going to get. Did you feel that way? I sure did.
I mean, they got quite a bit of teams in. I agreed with what they were saying on the selection show that they were just underseeded. They did not get the seeds they probably deserved.
Yeah. And then on the women's side, I'm really happy that K-State gets to host. I am very prejudiced. You are too. But I think they deserve to be one of those top seeds. I'm glad it's happening. I think it's great for the fan base here in Manhattan and the surrounding area. That's going to be really exciting, man. That's awesome.
Well, Wyatt, I know you're really busy right now. I really appreciate your time. And safe travels up to Iowa City for tomorrow's broadcast. And we'll be talking to you soon.
You got it, Mitch. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
And that's the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, on Wildcat Insider again. Cats and Hawkeyes will tip off at 8 o'clock tomorrow night from Iowa City. Pregame at 7 here on News Radio KMAN. Game will also be broadcasted on ESPN. Let's take a break. When we come back on Wildcat Insider, I want to shift directions a little bit because I spent all weekend as well at Toyton Family Stadium watching K-State take on a really good Missouri State team. The Cats ended up sweeping the Bears. Really helps them out in RPI. I got some takeaways from the weekend, plus what's to come for K-State this week for the Bat-Cats is next on Wildcat Insider. It's hour one of Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner and A.J. Shaw. Big thanks to Wyatt Thompson stomping by last segment. Hour number two will kick off with Tyler Dreiling from Booth Creek Wagyu. So we'll talk about the 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge that is on right now. You get signed up and fill out your bracket at newsradiokman.com. First place taking home $750 in cash. Second place will win a 65-inch TV. Third place will receive a $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu, which I'm going to head out there later on this week. Go try some free samples. Speaking of a 65-inch TV, that is a huge TV. bought one not too long ago, 65-inch, and I was preparing for, like, you know, I was measuring out the wall, measuring out this or that, make sure, because I wanted a big TV. I knew March Madness was coming up. I wanted a big TV. The service that I get for my TV, I can do the quad box. I can watch four games at one time, and that's what I plan on doing this weekend. And I was like, so I measured everything out, and then finally, when I got the TV, first of all, barely fit into the vehicle, and then I hauled it in all by myself. I was like, this is a big TV. Well, let me tell you, for March Madness, for just watching sports in general, a big TV makes it way better. And what a perfect addition to your living room, your man cave, wherever. This is going to make your sports watching experience a lot better if you finish in second. But also, I mean, first place, $750 could buy you a couple of 65-inch TVs. So, again, go get signed up and fill out your bracket at newsradiokman.com or any of our radio station websites. And you have to get your bracket in by 11 a.m. Thursday. AJ, have you started filling out a bracket yet?
I did last night. I also filled one out for a little challenge here at the station. So
now, you want to say your final four? Are you there yet?
I'm almost there.
I'm saving mine for Wednesday.
I might save mine for next week.
Because Wednesday will be a very big, you know, NCAA. Well, I mean, really all week will be NCAA tournament heavy, as you can imagine.
I'm a little jealous. You get to go try some free samples on Wednesday.
And I'll be courtside for the NCAA tournament on Friday. Man. It's going to be a pretty good week. all right. I want to talk back hats as well. Not only is, you know, plenty of basketball going on, but baseball will play four games this week on the road at Wichita State on Tuesday. And then this weekend we'll be at Houston facing off with the Cougars in Big 12 play. K-State sweeps Missouri State. Did not predict that heading into the weekend. Missouri State is a good team. I was pretty impressed with their starting pitching. They got some heavy bats on offense as well. Like, there is plenty of talent on that team. K-State had to come from behind on Saturday after giving up a handful of runs early in the game. I think that's been the one issue for me with this team so far, and that is there's been a pretty decent amount of home games so far this year, and even some on the road, where K-State just, you know, first inning comes out not looking too good. Rough. That happened on Saturday. They were able to come from behind and win. They absolutely take care of business yesterday. What a sweep. That was huge. I know people look at Missouri State, it's like, oh, it's Missouri State. You know, you may, your mind maybe just go to football and make that comparison. Oh, they're never good. You know, they can't ever compete against us in football, whatever. No, they're a very respectable club in baseball. And K-State will still have to go there later on this year and play one game in the midweek. So, again, more travel for the Bat-Cats in the midweek. Looking from an RPI, and this is just where my brain is at this year, looking at RPI. Because that was a major factor. That was the major factor last year in K-State not making it to the NCAA tournament. So I'm paying attention more to the RPI and seeing, all right, what's coming up on the schedule and how can this affect K-State? Well, I mean, just from this last week, heading into the weekend series, Missouri State was a top 20 RPI team. And K-State swept them. That's big. And K-State jumped from 82 to 56 in the RPI.
Oh, that's big.
That's a big jump. that's huge. And these next couple of weeks are, you know, that's a lot of what you would call, like, you know, you're thinking of basketball, quad one type of opportunities. We'll get to that here in just a second. But some standouts for me, a lot of players offensively, but we'll start with Brady Day. Brady Day is playing phenomenal baseball right now. He finished the series hitting .545. He was 6-for-11. He had three doubles. He had a home run, three RBI, three walks in this series. Brady Day is out of this world good. I saw it last year. It happened early last year. And from 2 years ago to last year, I mean, it was just a transition of he was on the bench. Now it's his turn to start, be a second baseman. And he has been phenomenal. He was a 12th round pick last year. Didn't need to come back.
He's going to get drafted higher this year, though.
Yeah, he has come back, and he is better. And that's awesome to see. I really liked the weekend for Kalen Culpepper. I thought it was a nice step up. He was just behind Brady Day in batting average at 538, 7 for 13. He had a double. There was a lot of singles in there, but also walked one time. Only one strikeout after a few too many strikeouts in the series prior to that. Kalen has been just dynamite in the field. I want to give a couple of guys more shout-outs here. Nick English, who's been DHing. He'll play a little bit of right field, but he's been DHing lately. This is a true freshman who hit 4-for-9, disciplined at the plate with 4 walks. His on-base percentage was .615. I mean, finding a true freshman like that out of Olathe and has been phenomenal so far. Looking at the numbers is one thing. I know this is early in the year. We're maybe, I don't know if we're over even a third of the way through. You know, comparing the numbers in the Big 12 is one thing, but just kind of a general feeling right now is I think K-State's offense, you can argue that they're the best in the Big 12 right now.
Their offense is very good, and we all thought coming into the year the pitching was going to be the key. So far the pitching hasn't been great, but Borum has looked really good so far, but you just hope as you get into the conference schedule that pitching starts to round into form, because once they get that with their offense, ooh, they're going to be lethal.
All right, you said something there, and I just need to correct you real quick. Borma. I've heard it from a lot of people. Not Borma, Borma.
Borma.
And yes, you are right. He was really good on Sunday. Went 8 innings of two-hit baseball against a good offense in Missouri State. That was a very good bounce back from his last outing. But speaking of pitching, there's one guy in particular I really want to bring up, Jackson Wentworth.
Yes, sir.
The redshirt sophomore has been lights out good, and it's much needed when K-State right now is missing two of their three best pitchers, Tyson Abers and Ty Rule. And Coach said, we're still looking at still a couple of weeks before they might be able to return, really thinking about Neighbors here with that timeline. I don't really have any specifics, and I wish I did. But those guys are out right now. But Jackson Wentworth, he was a part of that combined no-hitter with Blake Frost the other night, last week. And then we saw him appear in the Missouri State Series, and he pitched 3 innings, struck out 7. Jackson Wentworth statistically is one of the best pitchers in the Big 12. He is coming out of the bullpen. And I got to say, I would say 4 of his last 5 outings have been phenomenal. And he's already pitched 2/3 of what he pitched last year. Also, he got hurt last year. I think it was halfway through the year and wasn't available. But now he is available. He is back. He has that 4-pitch Mitch, and it is nasty. It is absolutely nasty. Back to the offense. K-State had 30 runs in the game, and, all the RBIs, which were 27, 11 guys contributed to those RBIs. 11 guys. From a couple of pinch hit at-bats, were pretty big. One on Friday from Jaden Parsons was really big, and he came off the bench and then started the next 2 days, and I really liked what Jaden had to offer. Had back-to-back Canucks in the lineup with Rafael Pelletier. Yes, the numbers say pitching isn't great right now, but I think it is getting a little bit better. I wouldn't say yet that this team is deep or anything when it comes to its pitching, but I saw it get a little bit better against Missouri State. But I can see this team has something to it. I think it's there. This is not panic mode. If anybody was in panic mode during the Tennessee Clemson midweek, that sucked. That wasn't fun. It was just a bloodbath, did not perform well, other than, Jackson Wentworth was actually pretty good at Clemson. He was pretty good. This team does have quite a bit of talent. But remember, they're still missing two of their three best pitchers. Some guys maybe having to step up a little bit more than what they were planning on a little bit earlier. It's not trying to give you like a runaround explanation. It just is what it is right now. But we do hope that they come back sooner rather than later. And then we're going to feel, I'm sure, feeling much more better about where K-State is with their pitching. I see the talent. K-State does have plenty of talent. I think it's more just consistency, really.
I agree.
Yeah, just need to be consistent. I think the bats are becoming more consistent from the same guys. It's just pitching, you know. Back-to-back strong outings from Owen Borma is the next step. Jacob Frost, same story. He wasn't great this past weekend. But 2 weekends ago, he threw a no-hitter, combined no-hitter. So it's just now we're in a consistency phase. Big 12 play, back in action this weekend. Houston's RPI is 53, Wichita State 72. These are road games that K-State can pick up. They would be huge if K-State could take 3 out of 4 this weekend or this week. Huge for the Mad Cats. All right. We have reached the end of hour number one. Hour number two. We're going to be joined by Tyler Dreiling from Booth Creek Wagyu. We're going to talk steaks. We're going to talk bracket challenge. That in your local news is up next for hour two of Wildcat Insider after these words.